Friends, as we come to have a look at what we have just read together this morning, let me first of all just put a title on what we want to consider. And it is that title, Every Spiritual Blessing in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing that we possess is in Christ Jesus. Over this last number of weeks now, we have been considering the wonder of the Lord's dealing with his people. Dare I say, we have been basking in the wonder of how the great holy God of heaven has dealt with poor, helpless, hell-deserving sinners. And as we have considered that in verse 1 of the chapter 1, we have seen how they have been described. They are described as saints, holy, set apart for God and by God. We have considered their former spiritual state in chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, how that they were born in sin, how they were shapen in iniquity, how they were dead in their trespasses and their sins. And as we considered that, we were face to face with our own dreadful, depraved condition. Then from verse 4 to verse 9, we have considered their and our new state in Christ. Then in verse 10, last week, we looked how they were brought into this amazing new condition. And we noted this dramatic transformation that took place as a result of the fact that it is the work of God. We are the handiwork of Almighty God. So what we want to do, and it was our plan from the outset, was then to come back to chapter 1 to consider these great blessings that belong to the children of God. The writer in these opening verses that we have just read together gives to us a list of spiritual blessings that are bestowed upon the saints. He gives to us this list from verse 4 down to verse 10. I want you to very briefly note them. Please follow them in your Bible. In verse 4, we read these words, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And there we can see that the writer is saying those saints, all saints, are a people who have been chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Then in verse 5 we read, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. So verse 4 tells us that He has chosen His people. Verse 5 tells us that they have been predestined for adoption to Him. And so the saints, the children of God, are people who have been adopted into the family of God. Then in verse 7, we read these words, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And here we can see that the saints, the people of God, are the people who have been redeemed by Christ. They have been bought out of the slave market of sin, and they have been brought into the family of God. They have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, do you see this list of blessings that are here? Then look at verse 7 again, where it says, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So we see that not only were they chosen, not only were we adopted and redeemed, but also forgiven. So the children of God, those who were dead in their trespass and sin, are now a people who are forgiven for their sin. And all their sin have been cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Then verse 8, or verse 9 and 10, it says this, Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose. And what do we find there? What blessing do we find there? We find that He has enlightened His people. He has enlightened His people to the great mysteries of redemption, of predestination, of election, of forgiveness, and many, many more. Then in verse 11, we read these words, In Him you have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose who works all things according to the counsel of His word. Well, oh my dear friends, can you see what is here? He has given to His people an inheritance. The Bible speaks of it, an inheritance which is secure because it is secure in Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And what do we see there? That his people, the saints of God, are those who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Paul, upon contemplation of these blessings, cries from the depths of his heart in verse 3, please note it. See what he says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And so, as the Apostle Paul thinks upon this, as he contemplates these blessings which he is going to speak about, what does he do? He cries, blessed be the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, please keep your eye on the Bible. You see what he's doing here. The very thought of what he is about to speak of causes his heart to almost burst with praise and thanksgiving to God. Paul here thinks of what he's going to describe, and in doing so, his heart is filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. And my dear friends, this morning I want you to know that whenever a person truly grasps hold of what we have just seen in this list of blessings, it must cause our heart to overflow with joy and praise and thanksgiving. And if you are here this morning and you're able to read those verses with a cold heart, then there's something radically wrong. If you can consider these multiple blessings that belong to the children of God and do not exclaim in the depths of your soul great praise and thanks to God, then somehow you've missed what has really been said in these verses. Now, I've been looking forward to coming to these verses, but quite honestly, I don't quite know how I'm going to handle them, because they are so majestic. They are so wonderful. They're so blessed. And so we look to God to give us wisdom as we continue in the days to come to look at these one by one. But I want to introduce it this morning by first of all noting the special subjects of these blessings. I don't want us to miss this, even though it's repeating ourselves. I don't mind doing that. Please note the special subjects of these blessings. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. That's the writer. To the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints that are at Ephesus. And so we need to see who are the people who are the subjects of these great blessings that we have just noted in passing. They are the saints. They are those who have been saved. Those who have been saved by grace, as we have noticed, and not of themselves. That is the gift of God. The faith alone is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They are the children of God. So we need to see and note the subjects. There's great danger and claiming these blessings when they really don't belong to you. Can I say that again? There is great danger in claiming these blessings when they don't really belong to you. Let me use an example here. I'm often reluctant to use examples because I don't want to in any way take away from the great truth, but maybe this will help. I remember so well, I was just 21 years old, left home to travel all the way to New Zealand. In Southampton, down at the south of England, I got on board the SS Southern Cross, a cruise liner. Those days, it was big, not big in comparison with today's, 24,000 tons. Many, many people on board. And we were due to go to New Zealand. I was such a greenhorn. Never really been out of the country. I'd been out of the country once. Traveled to Scotland. I remember coming down to the dining room. Such a big dining room. Didn't know exactly what I should do. I didn't know anybody on the boat, on the ship at all. And I looked around and thought, well, there's a table I can sit down at. But I made a mistake. I sat down at the captain's table. Now, you don't do that. You don't do that. The only way that you can sit down at the captain's table is whenever you are invited to do that. And I wasn't invited. And so very quickly, I was told that I needed to move on. Thus I think about that, and think about that example, I realized that that was not for me. The table was set, it was all there. All the stuff was on the table, but that table was not for me. That blessing, if you like, didn't belong to me. And you see, these blessings that we have read about this morning belong to the children of God, those who are already chosen and called and brought into God's family, redeemed, forgiven. Those who were spiritually dead but are now alive in Christ, who by the grace of God are saved, are born again into the family of God. Why do I labor this morning? Simply because I know that many people will claim these blessings only to be told not by the captain of the SS Southern Cross, but to be told by the great holy God of heaven that he didn't know them and that they must move on. These blessings belong to God's special subjects, those who have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away and is reserved in heaven for them. so I challenge each one of us this morning to ask ourselves the question, are we the subject of these blessings? Then secondly, I want us to note the source and substance of these blessings. Please note in verse 3 what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want us to note, and you know this anyway, we want you to note, first of all, the source of these blessings. These blessings come from God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So I'll not labor that. That's the source of the blessing, the blessings. They come from God. And then I want you, secondly, to note the substance of these spiritual blessings. Again, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus, or in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want you to note this morning that what he's talking about here, what he's speaking here about here, are spiritual blessings. Please don't miss that. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Now, you will know that God bestows upon the people of this world many physical blessings. This world is filled with the blessings that come from God. He makes the rain to come down on the righteous and the unrighteous. He gives to his life and so many other things. So many of these physical blessings are ours, and they're ours because they come from God, and they are the blessings that save us, the blessings that keep us, the blessings that care for us, the blessings which will eventually take us right into the presence of a holy God. Temporal blessings are great, and for that we thank God. But for these spiritual blessings, they are simply marvelous, beyond compare. Something else I want you to note about these blessings, that they are Christocentric. What do I mean by that? Well, look again at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So I want you to see that the very central person in these blessings is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the second person of the blessed Holy Trinity. Now, I want you to keep your eye on the Bible in those verses that we have just read, because Paul wanted to emphasize this truth. You look at verse 4. You see what it says. We are chosen in him, in Christ. Verse 5. We are predestined for adoption through Jesus Christ. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. You see, verse 9. According to the purpose which he set forth in Christ. According to the purpose which he set forth in Christ. You see verse 10. To unite all them in him. Verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13. In him you also, when you heard. Now you see why I've taken time to do that. So that we can see this morning that these blessings come to the children of God, and they come to the children of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one God. There is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. So we have seen the spiritual subjects of these blessings. Secondly, we have seen the source and substance of these blessings. Now, thirdly, I want you to note the secret spring from which all these spiritual blessings flow. Can I say it again? The secret spring from which all these spiritual blessings flow. Can you see what comes at the very top of the list, in the list of blessings? Verse 3 and 4 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Please note the word chose. He chose us in Christ Jesus. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. The doctrine that is being spoken of here, and we'll speak more of it, is the electing grace of God. We are chosen in him. We will look at the wonder of being chosen before the foundation of the world. He has redeemed us, adopted us, forgiven us, enlightened us, sealed us, and given us an inheritance. He has done all of that because way back in eternity past, he chose, he elected those who would be redeemed, adopted, forgiven, enlightened, and so on. Those he has chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, can I say this morning? That here is a doctrine that is either loved or hated. I'm sad to say that. I really am. But here we have a doctrine called the doctrine of election that's either loved or hated. It's either embraced or despised. It is either preached or completely neglected. What does that word chose or chosen mean? This is what it means, my dear friends. It means to pick out. It means to choose out for oneself. It means choosing one out of many. Now, people might say, well, you know, I'm not really a Hebrew or a Greek scholar. Well, join the club, neither am I. But the reality is that in today's world, it is so very easy to pick up a word like that and to find what the original meaning of that word is, and to also find out where else it is used in Holy Scripture. Now, this is something that has always been a great help to me in my studies, even from a young man, was to find a word and then see where else that word is used. And in doing that, I can get a greater understanding of what is being said. Now see what the verse is saying. We are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now there's been all sorts of things said about that. Many people do spiritual somersaults to get around it and to suggest to it that it doesn't really mean what it says. Let me just quote, and I'll ask you to turn to this for the sake of time. Just listen. In Luke chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "And when the day came, he called," that's the Lord Jesus, "called his disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom he named apostles." Now, that's exactly the same word. What did Jesus do there? He chose out of the group of disciples, he chose 12, whom he named apostle. So those were his chosen apostle. He said, you, and you. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, we read, "And when they said," and what they said pleased the whole gathering, "and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." That's the same word. The church went out and made a choice. And they chose 7 men to be deacons. In Acts chapter 15, and these are only one of dozens I could go to this morning, in verse 22, we read these words, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas." And that's the same word. Now, there's no argument, there's no debate whenever it is used in these verses and multitudes of other verses. But whenever it is used here in Ephesians, then for some reason it must mean something else. My dear friends, I'm not trying this morning to confirm my position to you. I have no interest in doing that. But I want us all to know this morning that whenever this verse of Scripture says we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that's exactly what it means. I love what Peter says on this particular subject. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, great verses. Listen to what he says. But you are a chosen race. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the saints. He's talking about exactly the same people as Paul is talking about in Ephesians. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for his own possession. And these wonderful words, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his most marvelous light. That must be the same people. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're a people of God's own possession. You have been called out of darkness by him into his marvelous light. Once you were not his people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And as we look at those verses, my dear friends, we must conclude that this doctrine of election is biblical beyond compare. That it is a truth that whenever we can grasp it and by faith embrace it, it brings to us a great sense of joy and peace and satisfaction. Now this morning, I don't pretend to understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. But I know that it's true, because the book that we hold in our hand is God's inspired holy book. And right from the book of Genesis, this doctrine of election is knit right through to the book of the Revelation. It is there. Whilst I don't understand it, my dear friends, this morning I can say to you honestly, I rejoice in it. And why I should be amongst the elect of God, why I should be chosen to be his child for time and for eternity, I have no idea. But I know that I am a part of that chosen race, that royal priesthood, that holy people who are God's own possession. Now, I don't have time to enlarge upon this great doctrine of election this morning. We will have to return to that next time. But in conclusion, I want to challenge each one of us this morning. What have we seen? We have seen the special subjects of these blessings. They are the people of God. They are the saints. We have seen the source and substance of these blessings. The source is God. And the substance is that which comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacred spring from which these blessings flow are the blessings, are the blessing of election in Jesus Christ. You see, my dear friends, if you take away that doctrine of election that comes right at the very top of the list, then you will have made your trouble with the rest of it. But if you can come to terms with the fact that whilst you cannot understand it, you embrace it, it will indeed lead you on as you go through and look at the rest of the blessings to greatly rejoice in them. And as we close this morning, I want to ask you, and again, you know that somebody who stands before a company of people has a God-given responsibility to make it very clear and to challenge the heart of men and women as to where they are in the light of all these great truths. So the question I ask in closing this morning is this: are you in Christ? You remember the list that we had: in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Are you in Christ? Do you delight in the wonder of these great blessings that are yours in Christ? Because if you can do that, then you will join with the Apostle Paul in crying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your holy word. Thank you for what we have just so very briefly meditated upon this morning. And we ask, dear Father, that you will help us. Please help us to understand something of the wonder of all this. We do pray, Father, that if there's any who have got that question mark in their mind just now as to where they stand in their relationship with God, we pray that you may indeed move upon the heart. And just as you have enlightened so many here, so they too might be enlightened to see the wonder of God's grace as we find it in these verses. So, Father, we pray that you will bless your word to all our hearts. And once again, we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.